Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Again.
Hey, buddy.
There he is.
Do you watch it? You watching Tiger?
What channel is it on? I don't even know.
I'm watching it on ESPN Plus. They've got him featured, and they've got holes 4, 5, and 6 featured. And I think that's the only place it's on right now on Thursday.
These holes?
He had a horrible, not horrible, but not a very good tee shot, not very good approach, but he sunk his putt, his 10-foot putt for par.
Oh, really?
It was promising. It was promising. Yeah.
I just got ESPN Plus. Amongst all the other freaking things I have television-wise is beyond ridiculous. I have everything that there is to have. Hold on here.
Yeah, man, at first everything was so much, it was like all you had was Netflix and Hulu. It was like, this is way cheaper than cable. Fuck cable. And now all the fucking different subscriptions you have to have, it's way more expensive than cable.
I got it.
There we go.
All right, well, let's get this thing up and running here. Let's get this.
An early one for you, Cutsy. You're busy.
I have a busy day today. I got a work call after this with Proud 90. I got to return a car. I got to do a couple things. I got to go into work early. It's a busy day for me today.
Now, is there anything you can tell us about this new sponsorship, or is that still under wraps?
No, that's signed. Up Wellness.
Okay.
How about your Up Wellness? Health, well-being.
Turn your mic up a little bit on the gain there, just a little bit. You sound far away.
Can you hear me now?
That's not it. That's your own volume. You're going to want to go behind the mic there. The top button there, just turn it so it's facing straight up.
Are we gaining speed here now?
That's perfect. You sound a little bit better. Up Wellness. Cutsy, run us through that. What's going on here?
Good guys. They have a ton of different products. CBD gummies. They've got this this product that I will definitely be using. It's called Total Revive. You take a couple capsules before you have a heavy meal, prevents bloating, which I am well accustomed to up until this point. and then they have, the best thing is actually for the golf course, which is going to be very interesting to see, is they have what's called adaptogenic herbs. So it's like a protein powder almost. It's not protein. It's like a powder that you mix with your coffee or your water, and it's supposed to keep you even keel. So it's supposed to kind of temper your mood swings and keep you a little bit more from going up and down, you know, which is why they reached out to me, because they've seen the amount of blow ups I've had all over Instagram and Bob's page and in golf and whatnot. So
nice. I guess I'm a test
dummy on this one, you know, like a little guinea pig.
It sounds a little bit like some Joe Rogan stuff where this is supposed to give you more energy, and then you take it and you're like, I don't really feel
any. The products are high end, man. They're like really nice. Look at this. And then they gave me, look at the mugs that they gave me, these nice coffee mugs.
Oh, that's a nice mug there.
And they got me, these nice, if you need anything too, let me know. I got a bunch of extra stuff. These nice water bottles are like the Swell bottles, which I love. And then, This is the adaptogenic, the Mojo. This stuff you're supposed to throw in your drink, and it's supposed to help you. The products are not cheap. They're like high-end stuff. I actually went and I met with them, 2 weeks ago? We went for lunch at Elefante, which I don't know if you've ever been, but beautiful patio. And perfect. I was sitting there with like a team of like four or five people. They had like a nutritionalist, like the doctor, the CEO, like the marketing guys. I'm just sitting there having lunch with them, but they're super cool guys and they're super really awesome people, and I'm happy to be working with them. So another sponsorship for your boy. We're gonna ride that one and see how it goes, but I'm excited to work with them. And by the way, I think it does help preface the underlining story of me trying to get back into shape now and trying to like focus on my health and whatnot. So we'll see how that goes, Tick.
I'm not sure how much of a story it is. It's just, you're just stagnant there. I'm not seeing any movement. Now, Cutsy was just sending me right before the show, he was sending me photos of him when he was a young man. Just an absolute knockout. This guy was, he was a handsome kid. He's a handsome kid.
It's the lamb.
But are we clinging on to the past? Do we need to start making some real strides towards the future?
No, because the past determines who you become. So I'm trying to revitalize that.
Let's just get your ass in a gym. Okay. Let's get you in a gym.
I've started going back.
Because if Cutsy can get that under control. Wow.
Yeah. And the patch of hair is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Look at the volume right now. I mean, that is immovable.
I promise you, too. I'm not, this is no gel, nothing. This is straight out of bed.
Oh, I know. I've seen it up close in person. I've seen it out of bed. I've seen it ready to go out. I've seen it every which way you can slice it. That thing is prime real estate.
I think Bob would kill a man for my hair. I really do.
I'd kill five. And I'd get away with it.
With this head of hair, would you just be a changed man?
I'd be a different guy. I say it all the time. It was like, maybe I wasn't supposed to have a full head of hair, because what an arrogant prick I'd be. What just a walking around.
No, I don't think you would. You used to have a decent patch. You undermine your patch of hair all the time.
I tell you this left and right. It's smoke and mirrors. There's so much you can do with product out there these days.
I know what you have. It's not as bad as you make it sound. You make it sound like you're clinging to like little wisps. You have more than that.
I got some wisps. It's very light when the wind comes by. I mean, man, this thing just get out of place.
I think its worst nightmare is a gale force wind.
I'm like Donald Trump getting on the plane and giving that one last wave, and just forget the wave, get your ass on the plane.
Ticket will never take a chopper, because that wind flow when he's walking in will just be sending those wisps every which way.
So, buddy, you got you promised us here on the show that you wouldn't be extending at work, but now you are extending at work yet another week.
No, the 21st is my last day. 21st is the last day. And then that's it. I mean, it's cost me the Masters, but that's neither here nor there. Bob, by the way, will be flying on a private jet tomorrow to Augusta. I mean, this guy just...
It's unbelievable. I thought he was on a private jet from LA to Augusta, but apparently it's just from the Atlanta airport.
Oh, sorry. What an inconvenience. This young man has to fly business class from LA to Atlanta prior to flying.
Now, if he had gotten you in, would you have said, go fuck yourself, cut?
I told my job. But the thing is, it was still last minute because of that. So trying to get tickets for this tournament, I don't know if you've seen the coverage for even the practice rounds. It looks like a Sunday final. I mean, they haven't had fans at Augusta in the last 2 years. So this is the first time they're having full exposure for fans. And then you add on the fact that Tiger's playing. I mean, it's just impossible to get tickets right now. So I did tell my job, I said, if I can secure a ticket, because Reed from Doing Things, the CEO, he was trying, you know, graciously to get me a ticket. But I told him, I said, if I got a ticket, I'm gone. I'm gone on the 7th. I'm gone on the 8th. And there's just, that's the way it is.
I think if there was no question that Tiger was not, if he was not in this thing, you think you would have gotten a ticket? You think it would have been a little easier?
Maybe.
Yeah.
There's a lot of frenzy going on. I mean, it's like even just seeing like on the Monday and then the par three, it's packed, man. It's just like, it's insanity. I mean, people can't get enough of it. So I'm hoping, and I think it's possible. I hope he makes the cut. I think if he makes the cut, it's a success story. I mean, him playing regardless is pretty, we touched about it a little bit last week, but him just being able to, you know, come out there and play is more than
admirable. I wish I could explain why. And I'm not alone in this. I know I'm not. I know there's plenty of people out there.
Why you don't like him?
No. Hang on. Let me finish this thought. I know there's plenty of people out there who are like me who maybe don't think he's the best guy or whatever, but why? He's the most exciting thing in sports when Tiger Woods is playing, and it's even times a thousand when he's making a comeback, which now this is his 10th comeback. And I can't explain it. And I've thought long and hard, what is it about this guy? And the only thing I can think of is it's the possibility of a little magic happening, of a guy doing the impossible. And we know we can trust him with getting that possible magic more than anyone in all of sports. Mm-hmm. And he's just
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, maybe Michael Jordan too, but at least going right now, he is the most electrifying guy to watch in sports. And I cannot explain it. I am so excited to see him.
You're right, 100%. And there's a lot of people who don't like him and his personality or him as a person. But at the end of the day, I think you need to sit back and analyze the statement you just made. Like the fact that he came and won Augusta, he won the Masters. When he won, that was, to me, I think he should have retired at that point. It would have been the most storybook fairy tale ending. Now, I know he still went on and was, you know, very competitive after that. But like, I just think that would have been the most fairy tale ending for, and it just what is probably one of the greatest careers of all time.
Well, he's trying to write another one, Cutsy.
I mean, listen, I heard his interview where he's, you know, the guy said, "Do you think you can win?" He said, "I do." I mean, that's just the competitive nature of him. I don't think anyone in their right mind actually thinks that Tiger Woods is going to compete to win this tournament. I mean, I would go on the record and say if he somehow was even top five, I think it's one of the greatest success achievement comeback stories of all time.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, even if he makes.
I mean, I didn't know, and we talked about this last week. I did not know the extent that, you know, his injuries were. I did not know that he almost was in jeopardy of not walking again. I didn't know any of this. And then to see him come back, it's pretty remarkable, man. It's unbelievable. And he looks good. From what I've seen, I don't know. I guess we'll get a good sample set over the next couple of days, but wow, he just piped one down the fairway. Did you see that?
I find it amazing that in a world so conquered, especially these days, by slam dunks and competitive basketball and touchdowns and Antonio Brown shenanigans and all that, that this guy playing golf is the most exciting thing. It's like World Cup soccer. It takes people who aren't even fans and start watching. And it's like people who don't even love golf the way we do. And even though golf's had a huge resurgence recently, especially with young people who don't love golf come out to watch Tiger Woods. And it's inexplainable to me and it's fascinating. And I'm not even trying to question it anymore. I'm just watching the man play and it's fantastic.
I think there's like very few people that you can point out and say these were like potentially the greatest of all time in their sport. You know what I mean? So we're seeing it. I mean, we saw it with Jordan. I don't think there's any question about that. The man just had a will to win and was just could not be stopped. In football, as much as I hate to say it, it's Tom Brady. I can't stand the guy. But like, again, you just cannot deny his greatness and his ability to win. It's just unbelievable. And in golf, it's Tiger Woods. I mean, it's as simple as that. I think those three guys are just pillars. They win. And because of it, there's like this folklore, this, you know, kind of, there's this kind of underlining excitement that people have when they see them come and they lace up, you know, and they go on the field or they go on and they get ready for a tournament. It's like people want to witness that because especially these guys, they're getting, you know, to the, you know, the twilight of their careers. There might not be that much longer. You know what I mean? Tiger, and even Brady for that matter, Brady almost retired. Like these guys, they don't have much time left. So anything that they're doing now, people want to witness. It's pretty fascinating. I hope he plays well. I really do. I think it's great for the game of golf. This is a guy who's broken down a lot of barriers that unfortunately golf had for a long time, you know, that was racial and, you know, even, you know, kind of segregated women and sexist and stuff like that. Like Tiger Woods being the best player of all time, being a black man who, you know, I think it breaks down barriers. It's very good for the game.
And, yeah, and that's where I was going to take it too. I think there's, you know, we can talk about the Michael Jordans and the Tom Brady's, but I think Tiger Woods, not only being as electrifying as he is and exciting and as great as he is, he far surpasses those guys in what he individually did for his sport. And those guys did immense things for their sport, but that just speaks volumes to what Tiger has done. Like you alluded to, breaking down barriers and just bringing excitement to a game that a lot of people didn't see much excitement from just on the outside looking in. And he puts asses in seats like no one I've ever seen. Like we were just talking about, you might have a ticket if he was certainly not playing. And I think it's a good shot that you would have, quite honestly. So I reserve my judgment for him as a person, but as an athlete, as a guy on the golf course, it just doesn't get much more exciting than him on a Thursday, no less. I mean, let's see if he plays on Sunday. That'll be absolute madness. But anyway, we've spoken a lot about Tiger Woods there, but let's move on to some of the other topics in sports. Is there something burning on you? Did just something that you caught your eye this week that you wanted to talk about
first? I want to ask your opinion on another great player who happens to play in another sport and has had terrible success recently, and that is one LeBron James. I wanted to kind of just run your brain and ask, like, what do you think is the next step for him? A lot of people are considering him leaving LA and potentially going to like a team like the Knicks. There's some discussions about him even potentially going back to Cleveland. What do you think is the next step? I mean, the Lakers are an absolute dumpster fire. They are as bad as, I mean, can be. It looks like they're out of the play-in. I don't know if there's still a chance that they can make it, but regardless, they are just terrible. What do you think is the next step for the Lakers? What do they need to do? I think they got to get rid of LeBron, but then B, what do you think LeBron's career looks like? Where is he headed to next? What is on the docket if you had to guess?
Yeah, mathematically, they're eliminated. There's no shot anymore. I think LeBron, and he just sent out a tweet too, which makes you think, is he going to stay in LA? He sent out a tweet basically saying, all this energy, all this negativity towards us, I want you to keep it for next year when we prove you all wrong, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And that makes you think, well, is this guy really going to stick around in LA? If he's going to have a shot in LA, he needs to have a serious conversation with the front office and with Jeannie Buss and say, we got to get younger. He's got to swallow his pride and say, we got to get younger. We need younger legs out there and talented guys at that. We got to get rid of a lot of, unfortunately, Carmelo's his friend. We got to get rid of Carmelo. We got to get rid of a lot of these older guys. Westbrook's got to go. And if they're not willing to do that, or they say that's impossible based on the cap how money is and contracts, then he's got to get the fuck out of there unless he just wants to die a horrible death in mediocrity. Mm-hmm. He needs to go to Cleveland. He needs to go to a New York Knicks. He needs to go to a Chicago Bulls. He needs to get the hell out of Los Angeles quickly unless they say, yes, LeBron, you're right. We'll get rid of Westbrook. We'll get rid of this guy. We will trade some picks and we will bring in some young guys and we will surround you with whatever you want. Barring they say that we will do whatever you want, no matter how impossible it may seem, he's got to get the fuck out of there because he does not have much time longer. He doesn't have much time left. He just doesn't.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think for the Lakers, if we're just looking at the Lakers, they need to focus on defense first. This is a team, they can't stop anybody. And then they can't score on the opposite end of the floor. So, like, I think unless they're going to – I don't know what they're going to do, but they got to focus on defense and being able to hold teams to getting less points because they're a team that's not putting up points to the extent of a Phoenix Suns or Golden State Warriors, even when they're shooting the lights out, or any of these teams, they don't have the perimeter shooting. They don't have it. So I think they need to focus on defense. They need to get strong on the defensive end of the floor and then go from there. But I think Westbrook needs to go. You're right. Carmelo needs to go. They need to establish a bench where they have some young, talented players. I actually like DJ Augustine. I don't know about you, but I think that's a player that, you know, who brings energy off the bench. They need more of that. They need guys who can come in and inject some life because, like you said, for them playing a full 60 minutes, these older guys, they just look like they just don't have it. It's
Yeah, well, DJ Augustine's getting ready to sign up for his AARP card, too. I mean, he's no spring chicken. This guy, but you're right, off the bench and in that role, he does inject a little life into that team. But, I mean, they need to pull a Rams. They need to sacrifice their future till 2040 to surround this guy. And if they won't or they can't, he's got to go. I mean, yeah. and it'll be painfully obvious if they don't give him all that and he does stick around, that he's happy in LA. And yeah. He's happy, you know, trying to make this work and being frustrated and possibly getting hurt on a shitty team. And that's the guy he will end up being. And but I don't think he will. I think he'll, if he doesn't get all that, I think he's going to split. I really do.
Where would your guess be that he goes?
You know, the Knicks are a really good fit for him. I really think that team immediately becomes the favorite in the East. I think.
You think so?
I do. Especially, dude, he played an MVP level season. I mean, this guy was unbelievable this year. And we've seen him play like that before with some of the worst teams in history and get to the finals. And he couldn't even make the play-in. He couldn't even get to the 10th seed.
Oh, my God.
So he needs more help, and the Knicks can offer just that. That's exactly what they can offer. Well,
the Knicks just blew a 21-point lead last night.
They do it every night. I don't know what their problem is in the second half. They go into the first half, the second half, winning almost all their games. And they're
up 21 on Brooklyn, and they let up a 21-4 run, and Brooklyn end up winning by like 10 points.
They throw all their hard work away, and they do it time and time again. And LeBron wouldn't let that happen.
You like Thibodeau as a coach?
They say he's great at defense, and I haven't seen him coach good defense in a long, long time. I really haven't. I don't know if there's something going on with Leon Rose in the front office changing who he is as a coach. I think just – sometimes you might be a good coach. Sometimes it's just time for a change. I think the Knicks need a new coach, and I think they need to bring in LeBron. But, you know, the heartfelt sentimentality is he'll go to Cleveland, and they've got a great young roster and core there. Mm-hmm. It's just, does he want to go back there? I don't know. I don't know where he's going to go. I just know he's got to get out unless they're willing to pull a Rams and absolutely decimate their entire 2030s. That's the only way they can do it. Any final thoughts on LeBron?
I don't know. I think he's out. I don't see him returning to L. Well, I think it's prefaced on based on what you said. I think there's got to be a serious discussion with, you know, the front office team and see like, what are we going to do? Like, are there going to be substantial changes in the offseason in order to make us a contender again? I mean, they just won. People say it was a Mickey Mouse championship, but 2 years ago, they just won the NBA championship. However you want to look at it, whatever you want to say, the decline from them winning the championship to not even being able to be a play-in team as a 10th seed 2 years later is, to me, just an absolute atrocity. I know people don't give them the merit because it was, you know, the play-in, the championship they won was in the bubble and all that stuff. But listen, they still had to win the games. They still had to win. They still had to beat these teams in order to do it. And I think if you put the team they have now in that same situation, they're not winning that. They're not winning any championships. So to me, it's concerning to see how a team could be at that level, whether or not you think they're the best team. They still won. They still were competing with the best teams to now not even being a 10th seed. I think there needs to be some serious discussion in the offseason, and then I would think that if they are committed to making changes around him, like you said, that maybe he'll stay, but I think otherwise he leaves. And I think he leaves the Western Conference. I think he goes back to the East.
Yeah,
I don't know what team that is,
somewhere in the East.
But I could see him going to even like a Miami. I could see him going, like you said, to the Knicks. There's a lot of teams
for him.
What's that?
The Bulls would be another good fit for him.
The Bulls, yeah, but the Bulls, I feel like, have momentum building with what they got. Sometimes when you have a good nucleus, it's not necessarily worth it to blow that up in order to get a guy who's going to be able to give you 2-3 years, mate.
Well,
you know
not
what I mean?
Blow like, it up, but just, yeah.
Well, they're going to give substantial
pieces. But
they
remind me so much of that Heat team that went to the finals a few years ago and lost to the Lakers. Like, really good role players, really good. Maybe a guy who's even almost a star, but never enough firepower.
The Bulls, and answer me this. Who are you getting rid of? You're not getting rid of LaVine, and you're not going to get rid of.
Well, LeBron signs 1-year deals. Can't he leave if he wants?
They don't need to trade for him. Is he a free agent?
I think he is. I mean, he usually signs 1-year deals. If not, I don't know. Dude. I don't know. They just got to do. He's got to get his ass on one of these teams. I mean, what are the Knicks going to trade for him too? I mean, you know,
if he's signing a 1-year deal, I don't know. I'd need to look into that. I don't know if he's a free agent.
Another thing, if he's going to stay with LA, I've been saying this since we started this podcast and long before that, Anthony Davis has got to go.
You're not a fan of Anthony.
This guy stinks.
I don't think he stinks, Ticket. He doesn't stink.
Stinks.
He's injury prone, but he doesn't stink.
Get him out of there, man. On a team with LeBron, when he's that old, you'd take a lesser player who plays all 82 games as opposed to a guy who plays 16 games a year. I mean, this guy plays nothing.
I tell you,
he's
who
the glass man.
To.
Get him out of there.
Should go to the Clippers. Have the Clippers give fucking LA Kawhi or some shit. You know, I don't know.
Paul Imagine George, went to the guy Clippers and stay healthy.
Oh, that guy is a glass man. If we want to talk about injury prone, that guy is a walking piece of peanut brittle.
But at least remember his initial injury, the one that happened like that when he was with Oklahoma City, I think. That was, I look at that injury, I'm like, okay, that was real. Like, he fucking broke his leg or something. And
yeah.
It was horrible to look
Zaza,
at.
Zaza, this piece of shit.
Anthony or Davis what? Sometimes just like kind of moves his hip the wrong way and he's out for 30 games. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Come on.
That'll be interesting to see. It's going to be an interesting offseason to say the least. Very, very interesting.
We're lacking a little bit of energy this morning. I can feel it. Can you feel it?
It's a morning. It's an early morning push. You know, there's the Masters on. I got Bob to Sports dropping. My phone's going off. But I feel like we're doing fine.
We're lacking a little bit of that.
Not every episode
sauce.
Needs to be. Not every episode needs to be outrageously over the top entertainment. Like sometimes. You just cut to the core of what people want to hear, and that's sports topics. Speaking of which, what would you like to discuss next? I'm trying to keep this thing moving here, Ticket, rather than assess the fact that we're coming
out
of a
lackluster. Well, I'm just not trying
to
pull the wool over the fans' eye, the listeners' eyes. I think we can all feel it. It's palpable, but
I think it's fine. I think it's a good pace. It's a different pace. You know,
pace of play, baby. Pace of
we're
play.
We're playing prevent defense right now. That's what we're doing.
Moving forward. Did you hear DK Metcalf on? He made news the other day about his diet and his routine. Did you hear this? What he does?
I did not.
He says he eats one meal a day. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's not bad.
One coffee a day. Seems smart. You don't need to be doing 3 bags of candy a day.
Does he really?
And then they were like, well, what are you eating? Like Twix? And he was like, I'm a gummy guy. He's like,
I love gummies.
Lifesaver gummies, worms, gummy bears.
I find this very encouraging because this guy is shredded. Like a fucking poster boy cutout.
Are you listening, Up Wellness? Are you listening?
Up Wellness is ready. A total revive. Bloating. I'm going to be taking those capsules. I'm going to be packing over some Sour Patch Kids.
Dude,
he's jacked as shit. I mean, obviously he's working out. His calorie intake is not coming close to what he's putting out in terms of exercise and calories burned per day. So yeah, somebody like that can fucking do that. Your average person can't be eating
muscle mass on with one meal a day and 3 bags of sugar.
His ab muscles could fucking shred paper.
Oh my God.
Like you could take a piece of paper and just put it next to his abs and it would just split the paper in half. They're absolutely protruding. And like when he breathes, you can see them like contracting.
It's a thing. I wonder if he's not including like, and also 16 protein shakes a day. Like, I mean,
you're fucking full of shit.
You gotta get the protein somewhere. I mean, unless that one meal a day is 15 steaks, how is
he
keeping the muscle?
I will say, I did the hard to believe that I did, but I did the one meal a day, and you can test to this for almost like 40, 50 days. And I was getting in routine, but that one meal a day, it's like you can feast like whatever you want. You can have like a 2,500 calorie meal. For that one day. Now it's very specific. You can't be eating late. It's like a certain window.
Intermittent fasting.
That same routine. Mm-hmm. So it's intermittent fasting. And I lost like 25 to 30 pounds. You remember this?
Yeah, but that's my point is I was losing weight like crazy too. This guy's keeping 50 to 60 pounds of muscle on top of him.
He's also working out probably 20 times more than we are in terms of the gym regime and what he's doing. I mean, we can't even hold a candle in the wind to what he's
doing. I haven't done a curl in 2 years.
A bicep curl?
Yeah.
Let me see the guns. What do the guns look like right now?
Well,
are they like, I mean, it's not bad.
It's a shirt though, you know, it looks better than it is. I mean, I haven't done a push-up, and I couldn't tell you how long. I mean,
you know what I had to do last week when I was at the I was at my my boot camp. These things are straight from the devil himself. Burpees. I used to be okay at a burpee. I had to do like 10 consecutive. After like six, I felt like I was going down like Nixon. It was absolutely exhausting, man. Cardio. Wow, Tiger, what a shot.
He's playing phenomenally.
Stay out of the bunker. Oh yeah, he looks good, man.
Yeah, man, he is.
I mean, he finishes today like a couple under par. I mean, people are going to be losing their fucking minds.
I think towards the end of day tomorrow, we're really going to see how his legs are holding up, walking the court. You know, I think day one will be the best version of Tiger.
How many doctors and you think like physio people he has at the end of his round, just like icing him up, fucking Theraguns up the ass. He's probably got a Theragun on every inch of his legs. Probably got like just somebody like, you know, meditative state putting him through. I'd love to see what that post round looks like for Tiger.
It's like a boxer at the end of a round when he goes back to his corner and 10 guys surround him, and one guy's got the ice bag over his eye. One guy's got that iron
thing they put on your cheek and
the cold iron to keep the swelling down.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the routine. And can you imagine being so wealthy that you take a doctor who owns a practice and you say, yeah, why don't you quit that and just follow me around? You just follow me around. He's like, well, I make like $100,000 for these 10 patients I see. Yeah, I'll pay you double that. Just follow me around. Follow me around.
And that's the exposure you get.
Does.
That's amazing.
He does that to 10 different doctors. He's got them all with him.
What do you think he's going to be at after today? What do you think he's like score wise?
I think he's going to be two over.
Two over? So you think he's going to be a 74?
Yeah.
I think he shoots a 70 today.
Wow. I'd love to see it. Hey, I'd love to see him shoot a 68. I just think that, man, by hole 10, 11, 12, he's going to start feeling it in his thighs, in his calves. And he's just, his drives are going to be a little shorter. And I'd love to see it though. I really hope you're right. I really do.
I mean, from what I'm seeing here, I mean, I know the sample set's small.
It's the beginning.
I know.
He's as fresh as he's going to be here.
This guy is just built different though, Tick. He's built differently.
What are we doing here today?
I don't know. I'm actually enjoying it. I actually don't mind. I see you're undermining the episode. I actually don't mind this episode today.
Yeah, it's just think debate. They can't see what we see. I mean, hey, watch the YouTube.
Yeah, how many views did we get on last week's episode?
We don't promote it, and I knew it. That's why I was like, why are we doing the YouTube? And you're like, it's important. And I was like,
it is important. I promoted it one day. Listen, I got a lot going on. With the job right now, I'm running this fucking restaurant by myself right now. As soon as that ends, I'm going to be like a butterfly escaping its cocoon. I'm going to be fucking soaring. I'm going
to have the Brilliantly Dumb podcast to promote. You've got the Up Wellness. You got to
Up Wellness is what? That's a sponsorship. Hey, I have two podcasts.
This is for the hardcore sportsman fans. The people find us. We don't find them. They find us.
Well, that's us. Yeah. Well, that's why we have 140 views in a week.
I'm proud of those views. I'm proud of every single one of those views.
If you are listening and you're supporting our podcast, you are a real one. You know, there's like guys like back home. Bertel listens to this. He doesn't listen to the Brilliantly Dumb podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, there's about 250 really special people out there.
These people are a different breed. They're cut from a different cloth.
Also, what I've noticed is the YouTube just really split the numbers. So you get 140 on the YouTube, and now it's taken down from the podcast.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you just add them together, and you're like, wow, we're still doing pretty good for us.
Well, I know, but I want to see a little bit more on the YouTube side. And plus,
you got to put the work in, man.
Well, of course, but we're getting started. Tick, we've only done this. You know, we're new to this game. You know,
I'm helping Jet run the Brilliantly Dumb Show podcast. That account, on Instagram now. And I'm like, Jesus, this is a lot of work. It's not a lot of work, but it's like just to get people engaged to come back to the show each week. Like,
now you can see where the Jet is ready to fucking hang himself sometimes.
Yeah, well, I don't mean everything. It's a lot of work. Like, the things he's actually doing is way more work. I just mean to get a podcast, like, keep people engaged with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you need to
I'm
share
now videos every day, and I'm like, oh, and, we need, and we then need I'm like, clip. We do nothing. We do nothing.
There'll be more promotion coming up. There will be more promotion.
We keep the people we got.
Retain.
You know what I mean?
Retainment.
We're all about retaining, and we do. And that is a really nice feature of that, to see that people stick around, people that are listening stick around. That's a really good sign. Moving on to the next topic, though, also not sports.
Not sports.
I wanted to run a question by you.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's hear it.
I had a buddy back in Philly. He lives in a little town in Philly called Fishtown, and he was not home, but returned to his home to find one of his windows completely shattered and two bullet holes in his wall. Now, I want to ask you a question. If I was going to have you over, or someone had you over, and they said, yeah, don't worry about it, my windows got shot in the other day, but I promise we're going to be safe. How long would it take you to go over to that friend's house whose windows just got shot through before you feel comfortable going back to that guy's house?
I think we're taking a hiatus altogether. I think I'm telling them, okay, let's... Let's reconnect after 3 months. Let's see where you're at.
Why don't you come over?
This guy's a target. It doesn't matter where you're going. They'll find him if it's at your place. You know, you want to go for a nice leisurely cup of Java at a Starbucks? All of a sudden, you got to keep your head on a swivel for a drive-by. What are we talking about?
Well, it was drive-by crime. They weren't aimed at him. They were firing.
How do we know that?
This guy,
where is the proof? There's three bullet holes in this guy's house. Not like there was one that was like shrapnel or an errant bullet. Either these guys are the worst shots of all time.
No, it was an errant bullet
in the house.
It was an errant bullet.
What are these guys shooting with Uzis? How many bullets are they fucking spraying?
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, so you're giving him a 3 month probation to see if we get any more bullets, and then you'd consider, because I gotta say,
at least a month.
I'm laying this guy off for a year. I'm not going anywhere. So I'm giving him a.
Well, how close of a friend is this guy? If it's just an acquaintance, I may never talk to him again.
No, it's an acquaintance. But I was saying, if you knew a friend, like let's say Bob's house got shot up.
Well, no, see, Bob's a different story. Bob's like family to me almost. That's a different story. It depends on the.
But would you say, hey, why don't you come over to my place?
Of course, yes. Yeah. If I'm going to Bob's, I'm packing heat. I'm looking for a gat to bring with me. Bottom line. If it's an acquaintance, though, or if it's anything less than a good friend, you're not hearing from me for a while. I'm sorry, my friend. I can't be certain that it's not a target to hit.
If I heard that your place got shut up, I'm sorry. I would see you just as much, but I wouldn't go to your place ever for a full year.
For starters, this gentleman needs to consider moving.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very least, I mean, you're living in a neighborhood where there's drive-bys. I mean,
can happen anywhere.
It doesn't. I mean, we're being honest, Ticket. It surely can happen anywhere, but it doesn't. There's prominent areas that this is well known for, you know.
Oh, man.
So you can play football wherever you want. You're not playing in the middle of the road. You know, you're playing on a field.
In North Burnaby, this never happened to you?
No.
Is North Burnaby like the Bel Air of Vancouver?
No, it's not. So the Bel Air of Vancouver would be like the British properties in West Vancouver, which I have a couple friends who are from there.
I bet you do.
Yeah, I do. Not myself, but yeah, these homes they're just built differently. These places, my one buddy's place, we used to go, it was you had to drive up like this curved driveway. And before you got in, there was a little call box and you would just tap the button. You'd say, hey, Matt, I'm here. and he'd press a button, you'd hear something, and these ironclad gates would just slowly open as if you're coming to the entrance of the, you know, Wayne Manor. And then you drive up this heated, like, beautiful cobblestone driveway, and it would turn around the corner, and then you'd get in. And when you'd open the doors, like, he had a grandmaster piano in the front hallway, and then you'd go in through the house. And on the other side, he had these doors that opened up. He had a pool, and at the pool, you had a panoramic, like, at least 180 degree view of all of downtown Vancouver and all the surrounding areas. And we'd go there to the pool, and they'd have fireworks in the night. You just sit there, have a beer at the pool on the pool deck, and he had a barbecue. I mean, it was, it's special. It's special. So yeah,
what's with rich people and grand pianos? Does anyone play it?
I never saw anyone play it in my life. I think it's just a flex. I feel like it's just like, yeah,
it's a total flex.
It's a flex, you know.
Don't even ask me how I got it in here.
The world's going down, and you know, we're all about to end. We have a butler. We'll throw on the piano, play us some nice hymns while we go down in flames. You know what I mean? We had
to crane it in before construction was done, before they put our roof on.
You never know.
That's what I think. I think they hire people. Like, if they were going to have like a date night, invite two of our friends over. We'll hire a guy to play the piano.
I think it's a waste of money. I mean, if you look at it for the intrinsic value that it holds, it's meant to be played for music. The over under on how many times that piano has probably been played is probably at a 10 in like 10 years.
So when you have that kind of wealth, you're not going to have a piano in your house.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I would like to put it towards something else. Those pianos, by the way, those grand pianos, those don't come cheap.
No, they certainly
those
don't.
You got to be like $20,000.
Look at the house you're living in. Now, let me say this. What if you befriended Billy Joel, okay? And he became one of your best friends. He comes over every Sunday. You don't play the piano, but you know Billy comes over every Sunday. You get in a piano, and just when he comes over, you say, Billy, play me a song.
Me? I mean, yeah, if I have that much money, then yeah, fuck it. Why not? Yeah,
you bet your ass you are. Fuck it, I would have a piano for my friends to play.
You know what I would rather do? I would rather build a little golf area in my backyard than buy a fucking Grandmaster piano.
Did you see Mark Wahlberg is selling
Did you see Jim Nance's fucking setup that he has?
Oh, no, but Wahlberg's selling $87 million. He has a five. I knew he had one hole. He had a five-hole course in his backyard.
But how big are the holes? Like 90 yards, 100 yards?
Yeah, I imagine there are a lot of par threes, but who knows? He's got a tennis court he's selling. Where's he going?
Imagine he has a par five in the back. Just ripping drivers on one of the holes. I mean, that would be pretty epic.
He's selling
a fairway bunker.
He's selling his house for a house that has nine holes.
How much is he selling the house for?
$87 million.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. These guys.
Those houses in LA, it's like when you look at them, you're like, where is that? It's like, are they even in Los Angeles?
You don't even know where those are. It's like they're on the left side of the moon. Like, no one knows where those. They're so gated, those areas. It's nuts. It's crazy. But you know, it's neither here nor there. Jacob, we need to wrap this episode up, my man.
You certainly do. Let's end with one thing about March Madness. UNC totally falls apart at the end there. They outscored them in the first half, I think 45 to like 29 or something. They had a commanding lead, and then they totally blew up from the inside out, and Kansas went on to win. They scored about 40 points in the second half to win. Again, for Bill Self. Did you watch that game? What'd you think?
I was working. I saw the highlights. I watched it. I know I'm retired, so I'm very happy to say I've still yet to place a wager.
Good for you.
I feel like a newfound man.
Good for you.
But I know Bob and the Jet, even more importantly, were very heavily involved on the money line. And that's got to be heartbreaking because
they had UNC money line.
And they live bet it when they were down early by like 8 points. They got it like plus 275.
Oh no.
Yeah, I think the Jet lost a King's Ransom, I believe. But
he does once a week he loses a King's Ransom.
Well, he hit so big on St. Peter's. He bet the money line like two games in a row. The Kentucky game and the Purdue game. I think that'll keep him going for a while, maybe till football season.
I see a very serious conversation with him in his future.
I mentioned multiple times that I'm retired. He didn't care to ask me to elaborate in any shape or form. So
you're like on the Tom Brady retirement plan where you're retired for about 90 days and then we'll see you back come football season.
Football season would be nice.
We got baseball coming up, and you might like this. One quick thing about baseball before we wrap it up. They're seriously talking about a pitch count. Would that bring you more interest into the game?
I mean, yeah, if the game's not 5 hours anymore, then yes.
Yeah, like a shot clock, but for the pitcher.
They need that, man. They take so fucking long in between pitches. They're on the mound. They're sanding the fucking – then they're looking. And you know what drives me nuts is when they throw to first base three consecutive times before making the next pitch. If you're not getting the guy on the first time, you're not getting them on the second, and you're certainly not getting them on the third. So what are we doing here?
Wouldn't
they're just
be cool
playing
if,
with our time.
So let's say they have a 25-second shot clock, pitch clock. Every time you check the guy at first, you reset your pitch clock, but it goes down 5 seconds. So now you have 20 seconds. So if you do that three times, you're working with like a 15.
Yeah, I love the idea. And by the way, what they should do is for every time that they go over the pitch count, like if they don't get the pitch off in 25 seconds or whatever it is that they're considering and they don't get the pitch off, it should be a ball.
Oh, I love that's phenomenal, Cutsy. That's
like
phenomenal.
That?
I love that.
Changing the game of baseball as we speak.
And you know, it makes a lot
so
of sense.
So think about it. If you're at a full count, you gotta fucking seriously consider what pitch you're gonna make. Yep. You better throw it in. You know, I mean, 25 seconds, by the way, is a lot of time to get prepped, ready, and throw a pitch. There should be no reason why you can't make a pitch in 25 seconds. Which is why I think if you're going to break that, there should be some kind of, you know, like in basketball, you lose a possession. In baseball, it should be an automatic ball for the next and whatever you're at. If you're at a full count, that means you walk the play.
I think that brings excitement to the game. I think that's a great idea. And you know what? It makes so much sense in this day and age, too, because back in the day, even just 10 years ago, pitchers would be possibly staring down the barrel of pitching eight innings, nine, maybe a complete game. These days, these guys are yanked after four innings.
And yeah, it's
like,
all bullpen.
So you don't need to be conserving your energy, taking a minute for the between pitches. Get them going. They're already going to be out by the fourth inning. Your arm doesn't need to have that much time to rest. So I love this idea. I think we're on to something. I hope they're listening. I hope some of our listeners, the few that we have, the few and proud, are in the front
office.
What's
the commissioner's name? Bud Selig?
But no, Bud Selig was the last one. It is Rob Manfred.
Tell Rob Manfred to fucking check out the Sportsman podcast. We'd help him out a lot. These guys are a bunch of walking corpses in that fucking room. They need some lifeblood injected in there, some new fresh ideas.
Oh, all right, Cutsy. Well, ending on that, this was a different episode for the Sportsman.
I actually like the cadence we had here. It was a different style. You know what? The people who don't like it, I'm sorry in advance. This is what it is. We are the Sportsman. You know, we come unapologetically human as we are. Not every episode is going to be, you know, sometimes it's like watching a basketball player, you know, sometimes Joel Embiid is just going to pop fucking jump shots from the outside perimeter all day. And then the next game, he's just posting up constantly. If it still works, it works. You know, you never know what you're going to get. That's what we're getting here. A completely different, this is a Joel Embiid outside jump shot kind of game. I don't know if they all dropped, but we were heaving them up anyways. So.
And Joel Embiid will be the MVP of the league this year. So keep that in mind too, with that analogy. Sick. All right. I am the big ticket. That is Joey Cold Cuts. We are the Sportsman. Till next week, folks. Have a good one, buddy.
You too, my man.